Amen. Thank you, Bobby, for blessing us. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, church family, for the worship that we've been a part of today and how you've honored the Lord as we've come together. I have enjoyed the series. Of course, I love all the Word, as you do. But our present series that we've been in, Discovering the Joy of Being a Believer, or the blessings of being a believer, has been one that I have enjoyed preparing for and attempting to preach for several Sundays now. Last Sunday was the first part of a 9-point sermon. I felt it would help you to put your mind at rest to let you know that we only were going to do part of that those 9 points last week and do the rest of them this morning. So we did 4 points last week on discovering the blessing of being a believer, and we talked about what it means to be saved, first of all, and sometimes we use a word, and we're going to be looking together at Ephesians 1 this morning, but sometimes we use a word so often that we become accustomed to it and sometimes lose the significance of that word saved. What must I do to be saved? We talked about it meaning regeneration and what it means to be ransomed by the precious blood of the Lamb of the Lord, what it means to be released from the condemnation of sin, what it means to be saved. And of all the things in the world that we need to give attention to is be sure that we know in our hearts that we've settled our accounts with the Lord Jesus and that we're saved. And I hope that you know if you died today, you'd have a home in heaven. We talked about what it means to be saved. And then the last Sunday, we used the first half of the message to talk about what it means to be secure in the Lord Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we give our hearts and lives to the Lord when He comes in to dwell within us and produces the life of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. We talked a little bit about what it means to be a believer and to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Today, we bring that full circle to what it means to be secure in the Lord Jesus. I mean, what it means when you're saved to know that your salvation is an eternal gift from the Lord, and it's not something we earn by our works, but something that we receive by grace through faith. So if you'll permit me, I'd like to begin reading. And in your study guide this morning, you've got, of course, the same verses from last Sunday, but I'd like to begin, if you'll permit me to begin in verse 3 rather than verse 13, and then read down through verse 14. Beginning in verse 3 of chapter 1, from what some have called the Queen of the Epistles, the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, Paul could have stopped right there and not said anything else had the Holy Spirit not been prompting him to continue on. But notice he said, God has blessed us with everything we need in this world to walk in this world for the Lord Jesus and to serve Him effectively. He called it with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every once in a while, the devil will whisper in our ear and remind us of all the difficult things that we experience in life. We still experience sickness. We still experience death. We still experience difficulty. And sometimes the devil will whisper in your ear and say, if the Lord really loved you, if the Lord really cared, you wouldn't be experiencing these things. But what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus is, listen, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And yes, death comes, but we have a Savior who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Yes, difficulty comes. We have the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we serve a risen Savior. And He's in the world today. And His resurrection declares He is Lord and there is none like unto Him. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Then Paul goes on in verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. There probably is no central doctrine, theological truth in the Scripture that is more mysterious, if you will, than the teaching concerning the predestination and election. We're going to come back in just a moment. He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The Lord wants to get us to heaven, but He wants to get heaven into us down here along the way. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, this is where you can just kind of roll up your pants leg a little bit, because we're in deep water. I don't know many preachers I've heard preach sermons on predestination and election, but there are a lot of questions that we have that someday perhaps will be answered by and by, but Paul deals with it right here and right now. He said, we need to know, well, the blessings of the Lord. We have been predestined under the adoption of children by Christ Jesus according to the good pleasure of His will. We'll look at that again in a moment. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now stay with us. If you find yourself wondering where is He going with this, stay with us. Hopefully it'll become a little more clear in a moment. According to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Look at verse 13. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Volumes have been written, and libraries are full of wonderful works of theological insight regarding predestination and election. But let me try to sum up what I believe personally the Bible teaches about predestination and election. That God chose us in Christ. Now that's the most significant part. God chose us in Christ before the beginning of time. And God knew all those who had placed their faith in Christ. And God predetermined and esteemed and established that all who would trust Christ would be saved with a salvation that would last forever and ever and ever. A perfect relationship with the Lord wherein He would bless all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then one day, you ever wondered if the Lord's going to have a Q&A time in heaven? I suspect it's going to be a lot of Q&A times in heaven. Or maybe, Roger, when we get there, all the darkness will be gone and we'll understand it better by and by, and we won't have to ask any questions. Libby has often said, when you think about heaven, she wants to ask the Lord some questions. And she is a great, deep theological thinker. And she said, I want to ask the Lord why He made mosquitoes when we get to heaven. Well, I don't know what question's on your list, but it's all right. You'll get them all answered when we get to glory. But as we look together this morning at what it means in the joy and the blessing of being saved, we've talked last week and concluded the last week's sermon on the proof of the Holy Spirit, and today, the predestination of the saints. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, you'll find it there in your study guide. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, folks, if you don't understand everything about everything, don't worry. I don't either, and I've studied this thing a time or two along the way myself. But let me tell you what I do know. First of all, when you look at predestination and election, you can know this for sure. It's not the will of the Father that any should perish. Please note that. God did not predestine people to go to hell. God wants all to be saved, and anybody who will repent of sin and by faith receive Christ can be saved. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But somehow the mysterious foreknowledge and all-knowing mind of God enabled God before time ever began to know how things were going to work out in the Garden of Eden. And so God planned ahead of time a wonderful and prepared and provided a plan of salvation that would include Jesus dying on the cross in our place, His precious blood being sufficient to wash us clean from sin and make us children of the living God. And so what we need to know as believers is we're saved not because we did some good works that pleased God, but because of God's grace. We're saved by grace through faith. And that's called the predestination of the saints. Now, I don't understand it, and I can't explain it except to tell you that when we get to heaven, we'll all realize even more wonderfully how marvelously God provided for our salvation. What are the delights? What are the principles? What are the truths that God wants every believer to discover as we look at the joy of salvation? Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God, if you just knew, you'd ask of me and I'd give you living water." And this morning, I'm convinced if we knew the marvelousness, the great majesty of our salvation, nobody would leave here without a personal relationship with the lovely Lord Jesus. What does it mean? What is the joy of the believer? To know that we are secure in Christ because of the proof of the Holy Spirit, which we looked at last week, and the predestination of the saints. Now, let me share with you another truth that you may or may not be aware of. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, he talks about what those whom he did predestinate, he also called. That was before we were ever born. And whom he called, he justified. That is, he made right with God. And whom he justified, him glorified. Now, have we been glorified yet? Well, there are two answers to that. No and yes. You say, "Brother Jackie, you're preaching in mysterious circles." Well, let me tell you this. When he talked about those whom he justified, those whom he justified and glorified, he called them, he uses what scholars know and have labeled the prophetic past tense, which declares it to be so. That is, I have not been glorified yet. I'm going to receive a glorified body. But it's been so declared in heaven, it is so guaranteed that it's declared as having been done already. The matter is settled. It's not up for debate. And the devil can't do anything about it. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of the throne of God and a joint heir with Christ. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that'll cause somebody to have a little bit of a spell. Amen? Can you say amen? Pretend you're Pentecostal for just a moment. Say, "Glory, glory, amen and glory and amen." Now, what are we talking about? The delight of what it means to be a believer, the predestination of the saints, and salvation is a settled transaction. There won't be any negotiation of the devil in eternity. His fate is sealed, and his destiny is doomed. Now, not only the wonderful, wonderful truths of the Scripture, of the predestination of the saints, Does it give us joy to know who we are in Christ? But to our position and the position of the Christ, of the saved in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be what? In Christ. Say it with me. In Christ. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Do you know that you changed your posture? God changed your position in this world. And when we gave our hearts and lives to Jesus, He now refers to us as believers as those who are in Christ Jesus. So the matter is settled. We are in His hands. He is in our lives. My sheep hear my voice in John 10, and I know them, and they follow me. And listen to this. And I give unto them eternal life. It gets even gooder. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus, what are you saying? If you are in Christ, you're saved and sealed, and the matter is settled, and the angels in heaven say, by the way, the angels must be looking from above at us and scratching their heads trying to figure out this thing called grace, because they've never been saved. Didn't have to be. The angels are a different creature. But they are amazed and stand in marvel at the work of grace God does in the lives of believers. And so the position of the believer in Christ is sometimes seen in imagery in the Scripture. One of my favorite stories growing up as a little boy was a story of Noah and the ark. And we all are familiar with that story. But I think one of the great things that we realize is it's a type of what it means to be in Christ. We are not saved by, we're not saved by a place called heaven. That's the place where we go after we give our lives to Jesus. Our security is not in a place, but in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so what does it mean to be in Christ? What you say, Noah, what did it mean to be in that ark during those days? What did it mean to be in that flood? It meant while the storm was raging outside, I had a place of comfort, I had a place of security, I had a place of safety in the ark. I was in the ark, rescued from the storm, delivered from the judgment of this old world. When you give your heart and life to Christ, you are in Christ Jesus. You are forever sealed and it's settled. And folks, that ought to bless you beyond measure. Then it gets just the blessings go on. We are to rejoice because of the present tense of salvation. What does that mean? Well, listen carefully. John 5:24. We're talking about, I have been saved. It was a long time ago. I am being saved. That's sanctification. I'm being made like you more and more into the image of Christ as I go through life. And I'm going to be saved in as much as one of these days I'll have a perfect body and I'll stand in the presence of our eternal Lord. But the salvation is spoken of as something we have right now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, now notice, hath a present tense right now, present tense reality, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into what? Shall not come into condemnation, but it's passed from death into life. Lord, what are you saying? Salvation is God's gift, is a present reality, has everlasting life, with future assurance, and shall not come into what? Condemnation. And it's founded on one fundamental truth. We are passed from death unto life. The sentence of death has been canceled, spiritual death, eternal death. And we don't have, by the way, I won't be presumptuous if I tell you I've got blessed assurance of a home in heaven. You know why? Because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on the grace of God. And God can't lie, and God will always keep his word. Well, it's not over. It just keeps on getting sweeter and sweeter. How do we understand salvation? Well, this thing called this election of the saints, the predestination of the believer, is seen in the portraits of salvation. And I give you three this morning, briefly. First of all, Jesus in John 3 likened salvation to the new what? The new birth. Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of heaven. So here it is. Liv and I were spending some time this week talking with our daughter, and I don't remember why the subject came up about when our daughter was born, but our lives were in such a state of flux. I had just been called to my first church. My first church had 14 in Sunday school. And my first Sunday, I was going to go to my first church and preach my first sermon as a pastor. I couldn't go because I'd been in the waiting room at Huntsville Hospital as my wife was giving birth to our first child. And I felt like I probably needed to be there. Come on, do this. And I got laryngitis, and I couldn't talk. And that day, the Lord blessed us with a beautiful baby girl, and Things have never been the same since that first baby came into our lives. And so that birth, it's a brand new thing. It's you can't unchange a birth. You can't undo a relationship. And when I was saved, I was born into God's family, and I'm a child of the King, and the King is my heavenly Father. In fact, he wants us to call him Abba Father, which is a term in the Hebrew and the Aramaic for daddy. It really is a term of endearment. So why am I so secure in my walk with the Lord? Why can you be so secure in your walk with the Lord? Because we didn't just join something, we were born again. And everything changed, and we're in the process of changing. And just like our daughter and just like us, we grow as we go on through life, and hopefully we become more like the lovely Lord Jesus as we mature in Christ. The present tense of salvation is an evidence of our eternal security. Not only the present tense, but the portraits of the birth, but not only a birth, but in Romans 8, 14 and 15, we have been adopted, born in the kingdom of God. But he uses the word adoption. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I have a note here that I just wanted to make you aware of. Under Roman law, an adopted child could not be disinherited. Now you think about that. In our culture, there are some, I guess, legal maneuvers people can take to disregard their family. But in the Roman law, if somebody was adopted, there was no recourse. You could not undo the adoption. It was done. It was settled for as long as the people lived. And I want to tell you, folks, when you give your heart and life to Jesus, you and I are adopted into the family. We're born from above. We have a new nature. We have a new standing. We've been adopted. We're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. And there's one other wonderful truth. We know that we're secure in Christ, and forever our salvation is clear. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now Paul says two things with this. We bring our message to a close this morning. He said, saints of God, remember he, the Lord Jesus, keeps the inheritance for you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We've got a home and a place called heaven. And he keeps the inheritance for us and keeps us for the inheritance. And this last passage, 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I will suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Conclusion. What are we to do with these great truths? We are to be sure that we know the Lord. Live like children of the King of kings and Lord of lords, departing from sin, and give diligence to be faithful in our service to the Lord. If you knew the gift of God and who it was offering it to you and all that it meant, you're adopted, you're birthed into the family of God. The matter is so settled, it's counted, it's done, even if we don't see the fact that we've already been glorified, it's just as good as done on the calendar of heaven, because it's a done deal. What does that really mean? It means in all of my life, there's nothing more significant than my relationship to Christ. Nothing. And if you're here today and you don't know the joy of what it means to give your life to Jesus, you've never discovered what it means to have your sins washed away and been birthed into the family of faith, you can do that today. In fact, every Sunday when we gather together, we remind people, If you have questions about what it means to be saved, we'd be glad to try to answer those for you, pray with you, share with you what it means to repent of sin and by faith receive Christ. You see, there's nothing more important than being saved, knowing you're saved, and living like you're saved. Thank God for a wonderful, wonderful salvation. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we?